أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولن تستطيعوا أن تعدلوا بين النساء ولو حرصتم فلا تميلوا كل الميل فتذروها كالمعلقة وإن تصلحوا وتتقوا فإن الله كان غفورا رحيما. وإن يتفرقا يغني الله كلا من سعته وكان الله واسعا حكيما. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، حبيب التوابين، وافي النعم، حبيب المتطهرين، وصلي اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى من استنى بسنته واهتدى بهديه وسار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us the life to return to remembering Him and to knowing Him. Today we have a few names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are going to reflect on and contemplate together. The first is the name of Allah that I just recited in the end of this verse. Allah's name, Al-Wasi'. Allah's name, Al-Wasi'. In the Arabic language, Wasi'a Yasa'u refers to when something expands, when something is expanding. It's large. If I were to say that this is a wasi' masjid, that means it's a large masjid with lots of room, lots of space inside. Wasi'. And the opposite of wasi' is dayiq, something that's tight, it's narrow, there's no room, there's not enough. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself, one of the descriptions He gives for Himself is the name Al-Wasi', the one who has no limit. It's not just that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expansive, but He has no limit. In the Arabic language, you would say, wasi'ahu kadha, to mean He was able to do this much. For example, if you were to give £10 in charity, and I would say, wasi'ahu hadha al-mablagh, that means He only had £10 in His pocket, that was His maximum. So He was only able to, that's all the capacity He had. So when we say Allah is al-wasi'ah, we say that Allah's ability, His capacity, His abilities are beyond measure. There's no limit. Now, where does this name Al-Wasi' come in the Quran? This name of Allah Al-Wasi' it comes in the Quran in a few different themes. The first of those themes is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about spending in the path of Allah. Who can tell me, my beloved Hufaz, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses His name? It's in Surah Al-Baqarah. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ No, actually no. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلْ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us to spend in His path. Now, what is the biggest fear when we spend for the sake of Allah, when we spend for a greater cause? We always see this expenditure as a minus in our bank account. We subtract it. I had £100, minus 10, minus 20, minus 30. We always conceive of it as we are losing, it's a loss. Right? It's a loss-making thing. It's not a profit-making effort. It's a loss. It's a cost. This is how you always think about spending money. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks, and the biggest fear we have is, if I lose this money, it's not coming back. There's a mindset, many psychologists, they talk about it. It's called the scarcity mindset. What is scarcity? Scarcity means there's not enough of something. Scarcity mindset means, you and me, sometimes we think there's not enough money in the world. So if I need to earn this money, that guy, he has to lose some money. And if I lose some money, someone's going to gain money. Imagine somebody opens a shop, let's say, on a nearby road. They open a restaurant. And after 2 years, someone comes to work for them, very good employee, very good chef in the kitchen. Next year, they open the same cuisine, same restaurant with a different name next door. What's the fear that the shopkeeper has, the restaurant owner has?
Competition.
So what's his worry? My customers are going to go there. In his mind, there's a limited number of customers, let's say 50. All this time, all 50 are coming to my shop. Now from tomorrow, 25 are going to go to his shop. This is the scarcity mindset. When you think everything is limited, 50 customers, no more. So when there's a neighbor, a new shop, half is going to go to him, half is going to go to me. When you think of Allah's name, Al-Wasi', Allah's giving has no limits. You think, okay, a new shop, inshallah, he will get 50 and I will get my same 50. Or maybe Allah will double the customers because there's multiple shops on the road. Maybe more people will come and we will both get double the customers. Why do we think that we will lose when other people gain? This is the idea, the mindset that leads to jealousy and envy, al-hasad. Because if somebody gains something, we wish they lost it because we have to gain. Why does he get it and not me? Why does she get it and not me? I didn't get that because they got that. It all comes from the same mindset. We think that life is a game of limited competition. So if somebody wins, we lose. Allah's name Al-Wasi' teaches you that there is a world in which both of you can win because Allah has enough to give you both. You know, just before coming here, I was putting my children to sleep, telling them a story. When I was telling them a story, I said, whoever answers this question will get a prize. So my daughter answered the question. My son started to cry straight away. Why? He thinks there's only one prize. His brain doesn't understand there can be two prizes, or three, or four, or five. We think in this way. We are brought up in this way. If somebody wins, I lose. There's only one reward, one winner. The winner takes all. This is exactly the idea that Charles Darwin, you know, very famously pushed into society with his idea of Darwinian evolution. What is his idea? Survival of the fittest. His idea is what? Life is a competition. Only the fittest will succeed. Everybody else will lose. You have to be at the top. You have to eat everybody else alive. You have to win. They have to lose. This was the idea. Darwinism is not just something in biology. It's a mindset for life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He teaches us His name Al-Wasi', He comes completely from the opposite side. He says, there's enough for everybody. Because the one who is giving you doesn't have 50 customers, or one prize, or one spouse. He has enough for everyone, and more. When Allah talks about spending in the path of Allah, He says, the people who spend for the sake of Allah is like an ear, a grain of wheat. When you look inside a stalk of wheat, every grain, you look inside it, there's 100 more grains. You look, there's more. The deeper you look, the more you find. And so what is he saying? The ones who spend in the path of Allah, as they spend, they will realize that their expenditure is not a cost, it's not a minus. It's actually bringing them more. But because it might be bringing them more other things, they don't realize. It's not a simple mathematics. I lost 10, I made 10 tomorrow. That's not how it works. Maybe you lost 10 today, but tomorrow Allah granted you a child. Maybe you gave 30 pounds for charity and you were saved from an accident. You don't know what Allah gave you. You only see what He took from you, what you spent. So Allah's promise is this. When you imagine, when you understand Allah is Al-Wasi', when you spend for His sake, when you sacrifice for His sake, it's going to come back to you. Allah has more than enough to give. But you have to have the confidence to trust Him. This is the first one, in spending in the path of Allah. The second, also in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah uses His name, Wallahu Wasi'un Alim. Can anybody tell me which story this name comes in? It's a famous story of Banu Israel. It ends with Wallahu Wasi'un Alim. You guys are rusty. I've left you for too many weeks. Where's your brother today? No? Wallahu wasi'un alim. Very good. Who said Jarut? Where? MashaAllah. Somebody in that direction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about his name Al-Wasi' in the context of power. What is the context? Allah says,
وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدَ بَعَثَ لَكُمْ طَالُوتَ مَلِكًا.
The children of Israel, they have prophet and messenger after messenger. And at one point, Allah sends a particular man by the name of Talut, and he becomes the king of Israel, of the Banu Israel. And when he's made king over them, what is their response?
قَالُوا أَنَّا يَكُونُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ عَلَيْنَا وَنَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِالْمُلْكِ مِنْهُ وَلَمْ يُؤْتَ سَعَةً مِنَ الْمَالِ.
How can this guy become the king? We are more deserving of being the kings. And he's not very wealthy. He's not very rich. He doesn't have the money to become king. Who promoted him? We should be getting the promotion. This is what Banu Israel are thinking. What does Allah say?
قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاهُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَزَادَهُ بَسْطَةً فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِسْمِ.
Allah chose him. Simple as that. He deserves it because Allah chose him. And Allah has more, he has more knowledge and more strength than you, even if he doesn't have enough money.
وَاللَّهُ يُؤْتِي مُلْكَهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ.
Allah gives power and kingdom to whoever he wants.
وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ.
And Allah is limitless in his abilities and all knowledge. Now tell me, what does these two names, Wasi' and Alim, why did they come together? What's the link between them? Yes. Yes. Everybody's been waiting for you to answer the question, Sheikh. Bismillah. Yes.
He's limitless. That's it. And after that,
I see. He's limitless, Al-Wasi', and he's limitless in his knowledge. Very good, mashallah. In this particular verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he chooses a prophet, very often people will say, why him? They said this to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ.
Why didn't the Qur'an come to one great man from amongst us? Why this guy? Who is this guy? Where's his money? Where's his bank account? Where's his CV? Who is this guy? Why didn't you Allah send the Qur'an on some great man from the leaders of Quraysh? What was the answer?
أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ.
Do they get to choose where Allah's mercy goes? When Allah says he gives power, he gives kingdom to whoever he wishes, whoever he wants, and Allah is wasi'. When Allah gives somebody power, that doesn't mean nobody else can get power. When Allah gives somebody kingdom, that doesn't mean nobody else is ever going to be king again. Why do we see things in a limited way? This is what leads people on a political level to being impatient. Somebody's the king, somebody's been given power. And the people of that city, of that country, they feel defeated. They feel weak. They feel we are powerless. So what do? They try and seize the power through military means. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, sometimes you have to be patient. You may not be powerful today, but Allah may give you the power tomorrow. This is Musa alayhi salam, the words he said to Banu Israel. They were getting impatient. Musa alayhi salam, you came with all your nice shiny miracles, but you've done nothing. Firaun is still sitting on the chair. You know, nice stick, but Firaun is still sitting there. Please do something. So Musa alayhi salam tells them,
إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ.
This land belongs to Allah. He gives it to whoever he wants. Right now he gave it to Firaun. Wait. وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah can give power to whoever he wants at any time. He can make you powerful over this tyrant if he wants. But he's alim. He knows when to give it and who to give it to. Be patient. Don't demand power. Don't be power hungry. It will come if Allah wants it to come to you. The third, we talked about spending money for the sake of Allah. We talk about power. And the third one, the young men will be very excited about. Allah used his name Al-Wasi' when encouraging young people to get married. Allah says in the Quran, who can give me the ayah? Surah An-Nur.
وَأَنْكِحُوا الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ وَإِمَائِكُمْ.
Allah says, marry off, you know, those under your protection and the righteous ones from your male and female slaves. Then here's the point you should listen to.
إِن يَكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ.
If they are poor, not well off, Allah is going to enrich them from His expansive ability.
وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ.
And Allah has no limits, and Allah is all knowledgeable. Something personal I can share. I got married at the age of 18. I became a father at the age of 19. I still remember when I got married, I was embarrassed about the money that was in my bank account. I was praying my wife should not find out how much is there. There's not very much in there. And I'm telling you, as somebody who has been through this experience, knowing that Allah is wasi', He is limitless, He can give, does not mean that you can snore and the money will come to you. You have to work. But you have to trust, if you work, He will provide. One of the things I'm grateful for that I have experienced with my own eyes, from my own experience, although I got married young, every time when I got married, Allah blessed me with a source of income where I didn't expect it. When I had my first child, Allah blessed me with a source of income where I didn't expect it. When I had my second child, Allah blessed me with a source of income where I didn't expect it. Every single time, I've seen it with my eyes. If you trust Allah and you take the leap, He will provide. But you have to graft as well. You have to work for it. Allah's provision is not free. It's not from mufti. It's not majani. You know, it comes with work. But if you trust Him, He's going to surprise you. But you have to think He is wasi'. You know when you, there are many banks in the UK, they have an interest-free overdraft. What does overdraft mean? You have, if you go minus in your bank account, they will let you go into minus, right? Maybe for 30 days without charging you interest. But you know there's a limit, £1,000. You can't go below that. Then you're in trouble. When we say Allah is limitless, you know, you live then in fear of this lower barrier. When am I going to hit zero? You live in fear. When am I going to lose? When am I going to be in trouble? Somebody, a Muslim who believes Allah is al-wasi', you don't live like that. You take calculated risks because you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no limit. There is no, you know, red line. You keep going, you keep trying, you keep forging ahead, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide. There's a reason why, you know, who can tell me what was the occupation, the profession of the vast majority of the Prophet's companions? The vast majority.
They were shepherds.
They were shepherds, more specifically. Even a shepherd is a certain type of profession, yes? They were tradespeople. They bought and they sold. Right? Even the shepherds would buy and sell sheep. Yes? Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the age of 25, where was he? Going to Syria, going to Asham in order to trade. What's the difference between somebody who gets a payslip at the end of every month? Yes? And somebody who wakes up in the morning not knowing how much money they'll make. What's the big difference between these two people? Huh? High risk, yeah? Sorry? Somebody else was saying something?
Leap of faith.
It's a leap of faith. Yes? It's tawakkul. You have to trust Allah. You have to trust Allah. Yes? You open shop in the morning. You have no clue, will I make my takings today? You have no clue. This was the vast majority of people, until very recent times, until the Industrial Revolution. You know, until capitalism, Industrial Revolution, people started working in factories. Before that, the vast majority of people on the planet were business people. They bought and they sold, small businesses. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was a textile merchant. Silk, textile, cotton, that's what he would buy and he would sell. Uthman ibn Affan, when he comes to Medina, who remembers his famous statement? He comes to Medina, he's left everything in Makkah. What does he say? The Prophet ﷺ says, this is your brother. He is happy to share half of his wealth with you, half of his, divorce his wife for you. What did he say? دُلَّنِي عَلَى السُّوقِ. Show me where is the market. I will make my own wealth. What is that? That is a man who trusts Allah. See, this knowing Allah is al-wasi', it makes you daring. It makes you courageous. You know, you stop being scared and fearful of every small risk. You are willing to take a careful risk and forge ahead because you know Allah is the one and His provision is limitless. You know, don't limit yourself to the paycheck. Don't live always in the security of the paycheck. I'm not trying to sell you any 10-day course to get rich. I'm trying to teach you about Allah's name Al-Wasi', right? It is a name that frees you. It is a name that frees you from corporate slavery, frees you from the golden handcuffs, from depending, needing something guaranteed. Allah's risk is guaranteed, but we have to take the leap. We have to take the risk, you know? Do it calculated, be careful, be smart, but don't hold back out of fear because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wasi' and alim. Now, one of the places Allah uses His name, now we talked about marriage and getting married young. Allah uses His name al-wasi' in the opposite scenario, which is divorce. Imagine, the same name Allah uses for us to reflect on, to motivate us to get married, and the same name He's going to use now to help us when we go through bad times in marriage. Surah An-Nisa. Allah, these three verses in Surah An-Nisa, 128 to 130. These three verses is one of the great examples in the Quran that every situation in life, you should remember a different name of Allah. Every situation in life, you should think and remember one of the names of Allah appropriate to that situation. Let's look at the example. Allah first says, وَإِنْ امْرَأَةٌ خَافَتْ مِنْ بَعْلِهَا نُشُوزًا أَوْ إِعْرَاضًا فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا أَنْ يُصْلِحَا بَيْنَهُمَا صُلْحًا. If a woman fears that her husband might have cheated on her, nushuz, or something less than that, maybe the husband is just neglecting her rights, he's not looking after his wife, what is she to do? The marriage is breaking down. She just started to notice it. The first time a woman has noticed it, what does she do? Allah says, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا أَنْ يُصْلِحَ بَيْنَهُمَا صُلْحًا. What is صُلْح in Arabic? Does anybody know? Huh? To make peace, to rectify, to compromise. This is the most important word in marriage. To compromise, to come to middle ground. You sacrifice something, she sacrificed something, you agree on something in the middle. Now, what is going to be the barrier? If a husband and wife, they're not seeing eye to eye. What's going to stop them from making peace is greed, ego. I'm not going to let go of my right. You better let go of yours. I'm not going to let go. So if they're both not letting go, they're in a stalemate. They're locked. No, nobody is moving. They have to move to come back to the middle. So Allah says, وَأُحْضِرَتِ الْأَنفُسُ الشُّحِ. The worst thing in this process is for you to be greedy. Don't be greedy. Sacrifice, compromise, let it go. Okay? وَإِن تُحْسِنُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. If you try to be your best, al-ihsan, and you fear Allah, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. When you get into when you have a serious problem in your marriage, and you come to the table with your spouse to sit and say, right, how do we make this work? In your heart, you are negotiating, fighting, debating, not letting go. Remember, Allah is khabir. Khabir means He knows what is deep hidden in your heart. He knows what you're hiding. He knows your motivations. He knows what ego, how much ego is in you, on the table, in this negotiation. Let it go. Allah is watching. Khabir. Next phase, the marriage gets worse. They're not able to come to a middle ground. Yeah? Things have gotten to the point they are talking about, maybe we have to finish it off. Then Allah says, وَإِن تُصْلِحُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Okay, now I'm not going to ask you for ihsan, to be excellent with each other. Just do islah, just try and make it work. And then Allah says, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Why? When a husband and wife have, their marriage has deteriorated, is broken to such an extent, do you think they're going to talk to each other with smiles and how are you, كيف حالك يا? Is that going to happen? No? Right? They're going to hug and be best friends? No, they're going to say things that are wrong. They're going to shout at each other. They're going to get angry with each other. They're going to say things they regret. In the process of making the marriage work, they're going to 100% say things that they will regret. But because they're trying to make it work, Allah says, you might do some regretful actions, but remember, Allah is Ghafoorun Rahim. Don't be hard on yourself. Allah is forgiving and He's merciful. There's still hope. You made a mistake, you got angry, you shouted, you didn't stop talking to each other. It's okay, Allah will forgive you. Just keep trying to make it work. So in the beginning of the process, Allah is khabir. Don't try to scheme against your spouse. Allah knows what you're hiding. The process is heated, it's breaking down, argument, this, but you're trying to make it work. Allah is ghafoor al-raheem. He will forgive you. It's okay, keep trying. What happens if finished? The marriage is over. It's not going to continue. وَإِن يَتَفَرَّقَا يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلًّا مِّن سَعَتِهِ. When a husband and wife divorce, when they are no longer together. Now remember, what surah is this? An-Nisa. Who's the primary person, primary people Allah is talking to in this particular verse? Women. When a woman gets divorced, what's her biggest fear? Security, specific type of security.
Economic security.
This guy knows about divorce, man. Economic security, money, right? Yes. Why? The vast majority of women in the history of pre-modern societies were not earning, right? They were not earning members. They were looking after the family. Now a woman has looked after the children for 10, 15, 20 years. She's broken her back and now she's divorced. In 20 years, she didn't get any BTech qualification. She didn't get any degree. She cannot work, or she's never worked for a very long time. What's her biggest fear? How will I pay the bills? He's not obliged to continue spending on her. He's no longer her husband. When a woman is paralyzed with fear, you know what she might decide? It's okay. Let me stay in an abusive marriage. Let him continue to be horrible to me. Let him torture me. Who's going to give me money? Nobody, right? Let me just stay in the marriage. That's not why Allah created marriage. Allah did not create marriage for people to suffer and torture themselves. La. Allah created marriage for sakina, for peace of mind. So if marriage is a source of torture, that's not the reason Allah created it. When Allah is talking to these women who are scared of leaving a bad marriage, where they are unhappy, they are dissatisfied, they are feeling tortured, Allah says to them, if you split up, Allah will give you both richness, min sa'atih, from His infinite, limitless reserves. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ وَاسِعًا حَكِيمًا. Allah has no limits in what He can give, and He is all wise. This happened for a wisdom, for a reason. Be patient. See the names of Allah. In every situation, there's a different name. When you're fighting with someone and your ego is coming in the way, Allah says, watch out, I'm khabir, I know what's in your heart. When you get into a fight because you're trying to make things work, Allah says, Allah is ghafoor rahim, He'll forgive you, keep trying. But when you're scared of letting go, because you think, who's going to give me money? Allah says, I'm wasi'. Don't doubt my ability to provide for you. يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلًّا مِّن سَعَتِهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ وَاسِعًا حَكِيمًا. Allah is limitless and He is wise. These things happen for a wisdom, not for anything else. In every phase of our life, if we connected with two names of Allah, it would help us. It would reassure us. It would give us motivation, the ability to go, to keep going. See how Allah used this name Al-Wasi' to motivate you to spend for His sake, to motivate you not to be impatient when there's a tyrant in control, and to motivate you to get married, and to get you through a divorce, all with the same name of Allah, Al-Wasi'. This is how we should connect with the names of Allah. There's a very similar attribute of Allah, Allah uses in the Quran, similar to Al-Wasi'. And it's not a name, but it's a description. Wallahu dhul fadli al-azim. 29 times in the Quran, Allah talks about His fadl. 18 times in the Quran he says Fadlullah. 6 times he says Dhul Fadl. What is Fadl? Who can tell me what is Fadl in Arabic? He's saying it's a favor. Anybody else? A bounty. That's what the Mamadouk Pickthall translation says. Yes? Good. In the Arabic language, Fadl is something extra. I'll give you a good example. You get your salary at the end of the month. Let's say it's £1,500. You pay your rent, your council tax, your bills, your electric, gas, everything. You have £100 left at the end. What do they call this in English? Disposable income. Please don't dispose of it. Yeah? Don't dispose it. They call it disposable income. Because after all your expenses, this is what's left. This in Arabic, they call fadl. What's extra? What's excess? Somebody tells you, gives you the glass. Can I have some juice, please? You pour. They said, that's enough. You keep pouring. This is fadl. They didn't ask, but you're still giving them. Right? This is what happens when you go to a village, you know, in South India or Pakistan or Kurdistan or Iraq and Somalia. You go to a village, your plate is there. You put the food. Someone hits your hand. Don't put the food. They start putting the food. You say, that's enough. No, then they give you fadl, ziyada. Right? This is the meaning of fadl. Now, Allah calls himself dhul fadl, the one who always gives you extra. He doesn't just give you what you ask for. He always gives you extra. When was this used in the Quran? You know, when people would go for hajj, before there were steam engines and trains and boats, 200 years ago, they would walk or they would go on a camel or a horse for the vast majority of history. Going to Hajj means you have to quit your job, give your notice, say ma salama to your family, your wife and children, say, you know, I might come back, I might not come back, and walk for a year from Bosnia to Mecca. You know, you might walk for a year, for a year and a half, for 2 years. You will come across so many countries. You might come across robbers. You might never come back. So Hajj was really, it's like a very big break in your life. 2 years, 1.5 years. What's the biggest fear when you leave for Hajj? Survival. If you're going to go and walk in the desert for 1.5 years, you need to survive. And so many people would be scared, how will we survive? And in Jahiliyyah, before Islam, in the pilgrimage season, the disbelievers were not allowed to do business, not allowed to trade. But what does Allah say when it comes to Hajj? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La junaha alaykum an tabtaghu fadlan min rabbikum. There is no problem for you to do business. But how does he say it? There's no problem for you to seek and look for the fadl of Allah. The excess, the bonus of Allah. Even if you're on Hajj, don't worry. You are seeking the fadl of Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks in Surah Al-Jum'ah, when he says, when you leave the masjid, you leave Jum'ah. فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ مُتَّغُونَ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. You know, Jum'ah, people take it, it's a sacred day, it's a holy day, it's a very important day. But the moment you step out of the masjid, what does Allah want you to do? He says it here in the Quran. فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, spread out throughout the earth. Go, make an effort to go and do what? وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. Go and seek Allah's bonus. What's Allah's bonus? Go and work hard for His provision. He's going to provide you, but you have to go. The moment your time for worship ends, your time for hard work begins. And whatever Allah provides you, that is from His bonus, from His favor, from His fadl. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about fadl in the Quran, one of the ways to understand fadl is Allah has made society, not all of us are the same. Some people are rich, some people are poor. Not all of us are the same. Some are male, some are female. Not all prophets are the same. Allah has given some fadl over others, some bonuses over some others. When Allah talks about provision, He says, وَاللَّهُ فَضَّلَ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ فِي الرِّزْقِ. Allah gives some of you more than others. When Allah talks about prophets, right? وَلَقَدْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَ النَّبِيِّينَ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. We gave some prophets bonuses more than others. When He talks about male and female, right? He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He gave males, men, some fadl over women and vice versa. But what is the most important thing He wants us to remember when we realize this, that Allah created society, all of us are at different levels. He gave us different amounts, different skills. One person's intelligent, one person is fast, one person, you know, is hardworking. Everybody has something different. What's the most important thing? وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. If only the feminists understood this verse. Do not wish for the fadl Allah gave somebody else. Don't wish for something, a unique gift that Allah gave somebody else. That's His, that's not yours. Don't try to be them, be you. Yes? You know, Allah gave somebody the benefit of knowledge. Allah gave somebody else the skill of business. If a successful businessman who's never studied, read a page in his life, tries to become someone knowledgeable, they will fail, they will struggle. That doesn't mean they shouldn't do it. But don't try to be them, be you. Allah opened a door for you, worship Him through that door. That's how Allah will open the way for you. Some people worship Allah through charity, other people through fasting, other people through the night prayer, other people through being good to their family. Everybody has something unique. Yes, women have something unique that men don't have. What is that? That men can never even dream of having. Sorry?
Motherhood.
Right? Allah creates human life through women. He places new human life in women, not in you and me. And any man who has witnessed the miracle of childbirth, you realize what an amazing fadl of Allah that is. That experience, that connection. A man can never have that connection with a child. Simply, biologically, we have not been given that fadl. Does that mean that I should want to hold a child in my stomach? No. That's for her and that's for me. And there are people today that might want to do that. Yes? Yes. And vice versa. Yes, Allah created males, men, physically different to females. In all the societies, Sweden, Nordic countries, where they try to be very equal, egalitarian, you know, they try to remove any barriers for men and women to work in any profession. You still find 95% of women are working in nursing, in medicine, in caring, in teaching. Why do they naturally drift? Why do they naturally go to those professions? Because that's the fadl Allah gave them. That is what Allah purely and uniquely provided for them psychologically, physically. He didn't provide to men, and vice versa. Why is it that 99.9% of men, of bricklayers and plumbers, etc., are men? They have been given something unique that others haven't been given. Do not wish for what Allah gave others. Why? That will make you satisfied. That will make you grateful for what you have. Be grateful for what you have. The fadl of Allah, when Allah reminds in the Quran, وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. Allah's bonus, His favor, the excessive things He's given you, is it's phenomenal, its magnitude is, you can't even count it. So why are you looking for somebody else's fadl? He gave some to you as well. The greatest fadl, the greatest of Allah's favors, what is that? What is the greatest of Allah's favors? Al-Hidayah, guidance, Al-Iman. This is the greatest of Allah's favors. You know? Yes, this is one of Allah's greatest guidance, one of Allah's greatest fadl. Because many of us, you know, human nature, we, especially today with social media, you know, I'll give you an example. 200 years ago, you would never know what your neighbor ate for dinner. But today your neighbor took a picture of what they ate for dinner and it's on the Instagram story. So now you know. Yeah, now you know. You don't need to know, but you know. Whether you like it or you don't like it. You are exposed to so much information about people's lives. Where they went for dessert. Which Umrah trip. What part of Spain they visited in their holiday. So your brain is now overwhelmed with so much information about other people's lives. What's the natural human instinct? To want what they have. It's so difficult to remember this verse. وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Don't hope for what they have. You know, they might be hoping for what you have. But you didn't make the story. One time, you know, I sat with talking to somebody and he was complaining that he was not able to go on a holiday to another country for 5 years. His friends going to Morocco, Spain, Taiwan, Bosnia, and he's stuck here driving to Blackpool and back. I said, okay. He said, one of my friends, you know, he has a big job. He's not married. He goes, travels here, there. I said, okay, that's fine. How old is he? He said, 30. I said, he's 30. He's unmarried. He has no kids. Ask him. Go and ask him. Would you like to enjoy the blessing of a family? He'll cry. If you go to your house right now, you've got a wife and you've got three kids smiling at you, waiting to see you, excited, running to the door. He doesn't have that in his life. Why do you think he's running away to Morocco and Spain? Something's lacking. Something's empty. There's some emptiness in his life. Don't wish for what he has. Go home and see what you have. You will be grateful to Allah. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تنظروا إلى من هو فوقكم. Don't look at those who are doing better than you in this world. لكن انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم. Look at those struggling. فإنه أجدر ألا تزدروا نعمة الله عليكم. Because that will make you somebody who will not belittle Allah's favors. The last thing about Allah's name, Al-Wasi', it makes you somebody generous. Because you know Allah will replace it for you and give you. The Prophet, one of the most remarkable and amazing statements about our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. كان لم يسأل إلا أعطى. Never was he asked for anything except he said yes, take it. Never. Never was he asked for anything. He said yes, take it. I don't want it. To the extent people would abuse him, be rude to him. A Bedouin comes. He's wearing a new, you know, he's wearing a new coat today. Imagine you bought a nice new coat for Eid and you came outside and somebody from the road came and grabbed your new coat. This Bedouin came and grabbed him. Ya Muhammad, itini min mal Allah alladhi ata. Give me from what Allah has given you. He takes off the cloak and he gives it to him. It's all yours. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? He knows Allah will give him something else. Anything anybody ever asks him, he would say, go take it. It's yours. Where does this come from? This comes from a person who knows that Allah's opportunities are endless. And his provision is endless. Give and you will receive. Spend and you will get. Sacrifice and he will provide. Don't hold it to yourself. وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.